Today on Real Life Radio.
Now look, if you and I get thrown in jail because we're breaking the law, then we deserve it. If we get thrown in jail for being Christians, something tells me, in fact, look, don't tell me otherwise. I'm really counting on this. If I get thrown in jail for being a Christian, I am trusting God to give me a song in the night.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Thank You, God, Part 1 begins in the book of Philippians chapter 1 with verses 1 through 7. The Apostle Paul wrote his epistle to the church at Philippi during his imprisonment in Rome. He went to Philippi on his second missionary journey, and incidentally, it was the first European city where the gospel was preached. Out of the circumstances of his arrest and the sufferings of a life in chains, we learn some of Paul's greatest lessons. It is indeed a reality book on how to live the Christian life designed by God in any situation. His letter is also full of joy and encouragement. He thanks God for the church's prayer and partnership in sharing the gospel. Today, Pastor Jack reveals how, in God's eyes, we all have the exact same value. The Lord will never abandon us in our time of need. Paul shows us by example how to have joy in hostile circumstances. For during Paul's darkest hour, God gave him a song in the night. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So then, listen. Then Paul goes to sleep. The famous, you know this, as soon as I tell you about this, Paul goes to bed and he's sleeping one night and he has a dream, he has a vision. And in his vision, the Bible says there's a man in his vision from Macedonia. That's Europe, ladies and gentlemen. And the man is pleading with Paul, come and bring us the gospel, come and help us. Here's the fun thing about it. Paul wakes up and says, that's it. We're supposed to go to Europe. And they start heading west, and they plant a church in Philippi. The amazing thing is, regarding that famous Macedonian call, we don't know who the man was in Paul's dream, because when we look at what happened, check this out, you guys. Again, read Acts chapter 16. It's awesome. When Paul gets there, he doesn't meet a man. Paul goes into the city of Philippi, and he's looking in the city, and there's no synagogue there. Well, that's very odd, because in almost every city of the world at the time, there was a synagogue. Paul, being a Jew, now converted to Christianity, a Christian, he knows what he's doing, ladies and gentlemen. He finds, and this was his way of missionary work, he would go to a synagogue in a particular town, he would find the Jewish believers, and he would share Jesus from the scriptures in the synagogue and win converts to Christ. By the way, this is a good practice for all of us. Do you know any Jewish people? I know lots of Jewish people. We are supposed to argue with them. They love to argue, so go ahead, it's okay, argue. Walk up to them and say, hey, my Jewish friend, I want to argue with you. They go, oh, boy, they love it. Paul would go and argue from the scriptures, Jesus being the Savior, the Messiah. As was his custom. He gets to Philippi and there is no synagogue. So you know what he does? It's on the Sabbath day. I'm recapping Acts 16. He goes down to the riverside where there is a gathering of women that have gathered to pray. And that was, listen, they needed to be near running water for purification purposes to worship the Lord. They're Jews and they're gathering together. There's probably no less than 10 of them. There needed to be 10. And so Paul sees them and he walks up to them and he starts sharing the gospel with them. And one of the women who's there gets converted. Now, this is amazing. Her name's Lydia. Is that your name? There was a Lydia here from last service. She's named after this woman, Lydia. Lydia, the Bible says, she is a businesswoman who works with fabric and colors, dyes. She dyes fabric. She is import-export fabric from Thyatira. Thyatira was known for its amazing colors and fabrics. So that means, listen to this, she's from what's considered the Asian world. Paul wanted to go share the gospel in Asia. Holy Spirit forbade him. He goes in the opposite direction. Who does he meet up with? A woman from Asia who's been converted to Judaism, She knows the Old Testament scriptures. He shares with her the gospel of Jesus Christ. She gets converted to Christ. So notice this. She comes from a pagan culture into Judaism. She continues on her journey of knowing the word of God, becomes a believer. In fact, she says, listen, will you share this with my family? He shares with their family. The whole bunch of them are baptized. So watch what happens. First convert in Europe is a woman. I love this. In a chauvinistic world, in a man's world, the Holy Spirit is doing exactly with Paul what he did with Jesus. Is he not? The Bible tells us that there is neither male nor female, bond or free, but all are one in Christ. God doesn't look and say, well, you know, you're black, you're white, you're a female, you're a male. In Jesus, we all come the same way. Isn't that awesome? In Jesus, we all have the exact same value. We may have different functions, but the exact same worth and value before God. And I think it's an awesome thing that the Bible declares 2,000 years ago that the first convert came out of Europe to the Apostle Paul was a woman. And so they go to her house. The missionary team goes to her home. The Bible tells us that as they went to prayer, listen to this, a woman shows up, another woman now shows up, a young woman, and she's demon-possessed. And they're following Paul and the missions team wherever they go, and the demon-possessed woman, now listen to this, this is interesting. The demon-possessed woman is walking behind the apostles and the entourage of ministers that Paul has, and she is saying that, listen to these men, they have the way of salvation. Now that was true. Ladies and gentlemen, it's true what the demon is speaking through this young woman, but God doesn't need hell to qualify the message. She was speaking truth, but the vessel was possessed by a demon, the Bible says. So the Bible says, after many days now, Paul becomes annoyed. The word in the Greek is awesome. Paul's teeth are set on edge. Poor guy, every morning, oh, has his cup of Turkish coffee, I'm sure. There's no better way to start ministry than with a cup of Turkish coffee. And as they go to minister, there she is, loudmouth back there, yelling, these men have the way of salvation. And Paul says, that's it. And you could just see him. They're all walking along. I said, guys, can you hang on a second? Hang on 1 minute. He turns around, and the Bible says in Acts 16, he looks at her. He looks at her, but he speaks to the demon inside that woman. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her. And the Bible says the demon came out, watch this, and when her slave owners, her masters, discovered that she was no longer profitable for them for fortune telling. Hello? Have you ever had your palm read? Have you ever gone tarot card stuff? Have you ever gone whatever that weird, I don't know what they do. What do they do? Read your lines or something? I don't know what the deal is. The Bible says demonism, yikes. So Paul addresses the demon goes out, the owners now see, what? She's not worth anything to us now. She can't bamboozle people anymore. She doesn't make us any more money. Lydia comes to Christ. Now a demon-possessed girl comes to Christ. Guess what happens? The merchants say, you know what? This stinks. These Christians are ruining our income. This is all in Acts chapter 16. Fantastic chapter. It's a window into Philippi and the people. They said to the magistrates, to the cops in town, you know what? Those Christians are ruining our lives. Sound familiar? And they go and they arrest Paul and Silas and the whole team. They arrest them and throw them in jail. Now, this is amazing. They're in jail, and you happen to know this story real well, huh? When they get thrown in jail, they are then beaten many times and scourged. This is not a happy thing. This is not like a spanking, you know, with like a newspaper. They are whipped big time. They're bloody. They throw them into the inner part of the prison. And then they say to a man, the magistrates say, you, guard them. And that's his job. Yes, sir. And so the prison guard goes in there and he's guarding these criminals, Christians. And the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing songs of praise to God. I want you to stop right there. Is that what you do when you're imprisoned? Now look, if you and I get thrown in jail because we're breaking the law, then we deserve it. If we get thrown in jail for being Christians, something tells me, in fact, look, don't tell me otherwise. I'm really counting on this. If I get thrown in jail for being a Christian, I am trusting God to give me a song in the night. And if I'm going to trust God for that, then I'm also going to trust him to give me a good voice. Because when I sing, I sound like Kermit the Frog singing. They're in jail and they're singing. And the Bible says that all the prisoners that are in the jail were quietly listening to these crazy Christians singing songs in jail. I know that your God, my God, our God will not leave us in the hour of trial. He'll never abandon you. And you can trust him. God, you did it to Paul and Silas. I'm in jail right now. Or I'm outcast, or I'm isolated, or this family's abandoned me. You fill in the blank, it's your life. Lord, give me songs in the night. Maybe if you can't sleep, ask God, is this a time to sing? Let me tell you something. This is a side note. Worship changes your life. Now look, you guys are second service. You're amazing people. You guys are here on time, and you see the value of worship, because worship is that holy, amazing moment where you get to give to God. Now, in teaching, he's supposed to be giving to us right now. That's what teaching is for. This is when the Holy Spirit is supposed to be all over my face and giving us the word of God. I say us because I learn too when I'm teaching. Worship is us giving to him. The value of it changes everything. Changes your attitude. Listen, Warren Wiersbe said about this book, the book of Philippians, he said, if Jesus Christ was to write a book on psychology, it would have been the book of Philippians. Because it's all about your joy in the midst of a hostile life. That's a neat way of saying it. Oh, you know what? I need to go see a shrink, or I need to go see an analyst, or I need to pop a pill, or I need to whatever. Wait a minute. Worship. Try it. They were in jail and they're worshiping. Are you down? Do you have a tendency to be depressed? Has the world rejected you? Try worship. Do it. Try worship. Get alone with God. Sing to him. And Paul and Silas are singing. Other prisoners are listening. And the Bible says there was an earthquake. Now there's earthquakes in that area just like there is here all the time. Did you guys feel the earthquake the other day? Maybe somebody was singing. Maybe there was a prisoner singing in jail. They were singing, an earthquake struck, and the Bible says that when that happened, now this is supernatural, the Bible says when that happened, the chains of not only Paul and Silas, but all the other prisoners, the chains fell off of them. I mean, this is a Spielberg moment. And they were freed, and the doors opened up, and the prison jailkeeper, who had been commissioned by the magistrates, when he ran there and saw the doors open, he concluded that the prisoners had escaped, which means by Roman law, Rome would behead him for fumbling the ball. And he took out his sword to kill himself, because that was more merciful than when the Romans would get done with him. And Paul said, stop, do yourself no harm, we're all here. And the Bible says, now listen, this is now what the third convert, a Roman, an Italian, runs up to the feet of Paul, falls down, and says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, tithe money every week and... no. Change 100 diapers in the children's ministry and... no. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. It's a very controversial statement. You will be saved and your house. You say, oh, if I get saved, does that mean my home is saved? No, it means that this man's life, now converted, would go home as a fruitful witness and be an example, a witness to his family. they would see the change in his life. Doesn't mean they're automatically saved through someone else. This man was saved. And so listen, when the man went back and said to the magistrates, the guys that you beat and threw in jail, they're Romans. Paul's a Roman. You guys listen, politically, Paul was born a Roman. Ethnically or religiously, he was born a Jew. He was Saul of Tarsus. Remember that? You guys remember? Do you guys know your Bible? Saul of Tarsus? Jesus changes his name to Paul. By the way, Saul means desired one. And Paul means little or humble. Jesus says, you're no longer the desired one. You're going to be the humble one. Because God had a big plan for his life. Have you ever been humbled before? By the way, that's one of our goals as Christians, is to stay usable by God. If you're usable by God, that means you're humble enough to be used by God. God likes to use people who don't steal the glory. God wants to use people who don't rival him when he does something. You should never see a Christian minister with his nose stuck up. If you're truly being used by God, Christian, you should be humbled like Paul. Listen, I think if we were more humble, God would use us more powerfully. And his name was changed by Christ to Paul. Little one, humble one. And so listen, here's the deal. It's amazing. When they heard, the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, that they had illegally condemned Roman citizens to be beaten, they called Paul and said, listen, we're really sorry. Can you guys just go out the back door and not tell anybody about this? Do you know what Paul did? Paul said, and I love this. Oh, I love this. Are you listening, Christian? Paul said, I'm not budging. Now, I have two thoughts about this. Number one, this guy's an animal. I mean that in a good way. Number one, he knew his rights as a Roman citizen, and they're beating him. And he never said, excuse me, that hurt. You should probably know I'm a Roman. They would have had to have stopped. You can't do that to a Roman. You have to have a trial first. He didn't do that. What would happen if you were grabbed and thrown down and they start beating you and laying your back open with leather straps and glass and the whips? And they're flogging you? And you know you have the right to stand up and say, you just broke the law. I'll see you in court. He never says a word. Think of that for a moment. So now they want to get rid of him. And he says, not so fast. You've beaten me. I'm a Roman citizen. He uses his freedoms. Christians, I beg of you, use your freedoms to the glory of God. Amen. Know your freedoms. Find out what they are. And use them to the glory of God. You're living in a nation that still is the freest place on the planet. We're losing our freedoms rapidly, but we're still in the freest country in the world. But are we using our freedoms to the glory of God? Paul says, I'm a Roman. I have certain rights. And he used those rights to proclaim truth and light. And so a jailer was converted. God moved in his life. All that to tell you this, by way of introduction, the gospel goes to Rome in the heart of Paul the Apostle. And he writes a letter. He writes a letter back to a church that he had founded some time ago in Philippi, the first church in Europe. You say, well, who cares? You do. You care. Because from that first church in Europe, eventually the gospel went across Europe. Here's the amazing thing about what I'm saying. You may be from South America. You may have become a Christian in South America. Or maybe in South Africa. A lot of Christians in South Africa. How did that ever happen? It happened first, watch. The gospel is in the heart of Paul the Apostle now. He's arrested for preaching the gospel in Jerusalem. He's sent down to Caesarea. How many of you have been with us to Caesarea? Remember the, right on the, bunch of you, on the Mediterranean? Do you remember we have that Bible study we do there in that theater? And all you see is that incredible blue waters of the Mediterranean behind me, and you're looking that way, right? And it was the last place that Paul the Apostle stood in Israel before he was put on a Roman ship and taken to Rome for imprisonment. Remember that? And remember how we talked about that theater like a gigantic pump? From that place, you guys, you got to go to Israel. We stood in the spot where the gospel left Israel to the world. It is the exact spot. It's not maybe, it is it. It has been completely unearthed, and that theater just went like this. Just and spit Paul out on a ship. And from that location, his missionary journeys. In fact, you guys have the map, first missionary journey map. You guys have that? It might be. There you go. Okay, wow, that was fast. Those guys are good because they have no idea where I'm going today. Israel would be over here. Here's Turkey. You see that? And Bulgaria, Macedonia, Albania. This is the region. So Paul would have been here. Philippi is up over here. There's Thessalonica, one of the oldest cities in the world, right here. Next slide. Oh, that's Philippi. That's Philippi last year. Isn't that gorgeous? See, I'd like to preach the gospel there. You see this? That's from Paul's day. Paul the Apostle saw that. That's a Roman aqueduct that carries water. Gorgeous, huh? Next slide. This is Paul's first missionary journey. He leaves from this region of Syria and he launches out. And he, look, ladies and gentlemen, that is a big trip. It doesn't look big on the screen. It's a big trip. It's amazing. I mean, that's a big trip if you're just even on a big cruise ship. And so he plants churches. He's ministering, preaching the gospel. Book of Acts records this. Next slide. This is his second missionary journey. Look at this. Up through land. Look at that. Up in, there's, look at this, Black Sea, southern Russia. All the way into Greece and back home. Remarkable. Planting churches all along the way. One of them is Philippi. Next slide. This is his last journey. Paul said, I want to see Rome. He was always saying, I want to see Rome. And by the way, Paul knew wherever he went, he would always go. I hope this doesn't hurt anybody's feelings, but he would have completely bypassed Chino Hills. He wouldn't have come here. He never thought like that.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio in a message called Thank You, God. And thank you for listening. Our hope is that the joy of the Lord will be your strength in every situation you face in life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Quick question for you. Have you ever been passionate about pursuing a dream? And what if you were surrounded by people who feel equally as passionate about that same dream as you do? How far would you go with it, and to what end? Our founding fathers had a vision to make America a city on a hill, a beacon of faith shining for all the world to see. And their mission? To exalt the gospel of Jesus Christ and the God who gave it. July's book of the month is called Forged in Faith by Rod Gregg, a fascinating history of the New World taking you from 1607 to 1776 and the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Forged in Faith, it's a dramatic, action-driven narrative that's not just about a story from long ago, it's our story. Pastor Jack is sure you'll be blessed when you order your own copy of Forged in Faith by Rod Gregg. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.